I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet,
and it's Mel.
So for today's topic, we are going to jump into an emotionally touchy topic about relationships. When we talk about relationships with our family and with our friends, we tend to focus only on the good parts. And these days, what we see on Instagram and other social media platforms is this euphoric state of life that everything is perfect, right? We see couples that are head over heels for one another, but we know that is not a constant feeling that anyone can maintain. It's like happiness. Happiness is always fleeting, right? And there will always be some level of tension in a relationship. Anything from "I'm annoyed that he didn't text me all day" to something as major as cheating, and I have to place my mistrust behind a facade of happiness. And we've talked about problem solving in episode 16, but now we're going to take it a step further. So what happens when you can't solve those problems any longer? So today we're going to be talking about a very difficult topic, breaking up.
So breakups are never easy. They're confusing, they're hurtful. You feel lonely, empty, infuriated, and it's never the same experience for two people. So no matter how many times you've experienced a breakup, it never gets easier. The person you spent countless hours with, binge-watching Friends, sharing intimate moments, and exchanging secrets that you wouldn't even tell your best friend, that person is no longer playing the role that they once did, and you need to figure out where to take it from there.
So to introduce this topic, we have a special guest today. Her name is Mel, and
Ooh.
she is an ABG.
Welcome, Mel, stranger.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I listen to it every week.
Oh, we love to have you here.
It's almost like you're here with us all the time.
I know, right?
Mel, so tell us a little bit about your story here that you want to share with us.
All right, so just to give everyone some context, it's been 3 to 4 months since we recorded the problem-solving episode, which was episode 16. I'm currently no longer in a relationship. Yeah.
Shock. Just kidding, we knew.
And I mean, you two knew. You guys were there for me the whole time. But just to give a little background to this episode, we actually ended because we weren't compatible. Looking back now, we both walked away having feelings for each other at the time, but we just didn't want to end our relationship resenting each other.
Yeah.
You know?
As in, you didn't want to just keep arguing to a point where it like kind of ended up in like a blowout, and so it felt right at the time to end it then.
I think in some ways, yeah.
So what was, if you don't mind us asking for a little bit more detail, like how did it happen? Or
well, to be honest, like before the breakup, everything was fine. Well, in my eyes, everything was fine. I actually still, I remember I still look forward to seeing him whenever I can. He literally just came back from Taiwan. I was like so excited to see him. We hung out the week before, and you just sometimes don't see it coming. I think sometimes you don't know when breakups are supposed to happen, right? Like, or for you guys, did you guys in your previous relationships, did you guys know the breakup was coming?
Yeah, I think from my personal experience, all of my, whenever I've been in a significant relationship and it resulted in a breakup, which is every single one because I'm single.
Hey, I'm on the same boat now, right?
But anytime it was a substantial relationship, when the breakup happened, it was similar to you, Mel. Like, there was something that was not working out, and mm-hmm. then a final thing happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Like a catalyst.
Yeah, some catalyst happened. And so if, in that sense, I feel like I've never had a breakup happen where I was surprised, mm-hmm. at least not when it was like we were in a relationship and for a good amount of time, mm-hmm. And both, like, mutually invested. I feel like the long relationships I've been in, I almost forget, like, who broke up with who for those. When I said that we both saw it coming is because mm-hmm. I feel like we would have had multiple discussions. And now, oh my God, it's been so long. So, but I can, because the one I'm thinking about is, like, from, like, 10 years ago. I think it's, like, there might have been a situation where I first initiated the breakup, and then we kind of got back together, and then he initiated it. So it was, like,
right.
It was just kind of like...
It's like a mutual breakup. Yeah. Regardless of who did the actual, like, breaking
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Both people, yeah. like, we both agreed on, like, whatever was not working, right? Mm-hmm. But it's very challenging when you're, like, in an emotional state to kind of break it cleanly. And I think also this is something I wanted to bring up for Mel, is that when you're younger, I feel like sometimes it's easier to just go along with it. And the pain of the breakup is more – you're more okay with, like, avoiding the pain rather than just continuing it. Mm-hmm. But if you're older now, and if you're seeking a serious partner, you're more inclined to put up with the pain because – any time you're spending in this relationship is taking away time to find your actual partner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for you, like, do you feel like that was the case with this breakup versus previous breakups you've had? And did that play into your, like, decision-making process and stuff like that?
I think you could call me naive, but I really wanted this one to work. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I want this to be it. I know we've only been together for what, like 6-7 months? I feel like at this age, you just invest along these type of relationships because you expect it to be the one.
So, Mel, do you feel like now that you're a little bit older, that's why you were fighting for this relationship more? Because there's now this, like, social pressure of you being in a relationship and kind of, like, moving on with your life into marriage and kids and things like that. Do you feel like that's why you were trying to, like, fight for him more?
I don't think so. I think I'm, like we mentioned before in other episodes, I'm super emotional, and I think when it comes to love, I will fight to the death of it to make sure. Like, I'll beat the horse. No, that sounds weird. Horse. But, like, it just is that the right saying? A beat a dead horse.
Kick the horse while it's down. Or
I don't know. That just sounds really sad now. But in general,
don't beat no horses.
I beat nothing. But
except for yourself.
That sounds weird. No, but, like, I just think in general, when it comes to romantic relationships, I will fight until nothing can be done anymore.
Yeah. You are a dreamer. You are the type of person that, you know, is super, like, loyal and will.
Yeah, I want it to work.
Yeah.
And I think another, I guess to tie back to what you asked, it does play into my relationships now, is I invest a lot more into someone because I am older and because I want something long term. And that idea of marriage is coming closer. But that's not the core reason why I'm fighting for a relationship. Like, with him, I really wanted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting because I feel like with that same question for me, because I'm more serious now, I'm more willing to cut things off. Because I feel like when I was younger, I fell into relationships a lot, mm-hmm. like without, you know, being, like, intentional about it. And then now that I'm older, like, I feel like I need to be more deliberate.
That's interesting. That's interesting because, like, I never fell into my relationships. Like, I always saw potential in all of them because that's what I wanted.
You were always fully in.
I was always fully in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel I've been in some of those relationships, but I don't know. I think maybe it's a personality thing. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of them that I just kind of, like, I'm not sure. And then it grows over time.
Do you think that affects your breakup or plays into how it ends?
Yeah. I think usually when if I'm not invested a lot in the beginning or if I question it, always it doesn't end up working out in the end. And even if I feel like those are partners that I can look at and think, we could have a great marriage. I could raise children with you. Mm-hmm. But there was something that was, like, kind of lacking.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't chemistry. There was no romantic feeling, right?
Yeah.
Because technically you could work with almost anyone. But mm-hmm. you want those feelings to be there too.
Well, that's an arranged marriage.
But I mean, hey, didn't they say, like, India that practices arranged marriage, they have the lowest divorce rate?
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
So,
yeah.
So maybe that's the route to go.
So I feel like in terms of a breakup, right, there's always the before the breakup, there's mm-hmm. during, there's after. And for before the breakup, I mean, it depends on whose perspective you're looking at it from, right?
Exactly.
Are you the dumper or the dump pee. So if you're like the dumper, like, you know that there's something wrong. There's feelings of wanting to stay in a relationship for the good parts, but there's also something wrong that's making you want to leave, right? And it could be a huge spectrum of things. Like, for example, if you're in a physically abusive relationship, then it's pretty clear that you should get out of that relationship. But if it's something that it's like arguments about little things that keep coming up, it's like you feel like it's not that bad, right? And then other times, the dumper and the dump bead feels the same, where they're sort of just like on the same page. So you're saying that in your relationship, it felt like you were a little bit blindsided and you didn't even go through this like pre-breakup routine of things building up, and it kind of just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And I think when you talk about like, I think breaking up is also a gray area. Like, it's never one person doing it or the other. Sometimes maybe it's one person making a decision they don't want to make, you know? I think it's very gray. Mm-hmm.
So there, I mean, Melcy, you're saying, but before the breakup, were there kind of arguments that you guys would have or just differences that you would share?
Oh, definitely. I think through the problem solving episode, I shared that we have different problem solving languages. You know, we go about things differently. And I think as much as we try to work through them, you still can understand each other with their problem solving language.
Mm-hmm. Like, there would be things that just remains unresolved.
This is all coming from my perspective. I don't want to like say this is how you felt, but from my perspective, there are times we did work through our problems. Mm-hmm. And there were times where afterwards we were like, sometimes I was looking at that bird's eye view, like, maybe this is not that big of a deal.
Right.
And maybe this is something, you know what, we're going to get over. There'd be other fights that are more significant. This is like nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think during those fights, we would always say to each other, like, but we still really care about each other. Like, we still really like each other. Let's make this work still.
Right.
So those problems kind of sometimes got swept under the rug. But I never felt like we need a breakup. I never had that feeling. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever like plan to break up with someone or been on that end? Helen's like, yeah.
I can say that I've been on both ends. Okay. I've been both the dumper and the dumpy. from my personal experience, in both relationships, there were like small, or I guess they were big, but there were issues that were persistent, right? And so when Helen is saying, you know, that two people are never going to be 100% compatible. So you're going to have small differences or arguments. And there will be moments where you think, hey, it's not that bad, right? Like, mm-hmm. this is something I can live with. Mm-hmm. But when does it get, or what are the things, or is it, does it get to a degree where you realize, okay, this is something I can't live with.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I think in both of those situations, we had things that we were discussing. The one where I did the breaking up, I obviously was not sideswiped because like I had the conversation, but I didn't also pre-plan the timing of it, right? Mm-hmm. So it was just issues that we were having all, you know, multiple times, and maybe from his perspective, these are things that we could work through. Mm-hmm. And then I just had a point where I realized this is not something that I can continue with. This wasn't something where it was an argument. It was just kind of a more compatibility thing, like the feeling I felt like it was a relationship I kind of fell into, and I wanted to wait to see if my like buy-in in the relationship or my feelings would strengthen and continue. And it just hit a point where I felt like it wasn't fair to him and that he should be with someone who really is not questioning whether they want to be in the relationship. So that was, you know, that was a perspective where like I did the breaking up. But when I have been broken up with as well, there are all, you know, like issues that we had, and I was just that maybe like if you sat us separately and you talked to us about what was like quote unquote wrong with the relationship, we'd probably have very similar answers, except for me it was like a level maybe like 3 or 4 out of 10 of mm-hmm. what is worth breaking up over. For him it was obviously like a level 9, you know.
Yeah.
But and that was the thing, is like we both knew each other's like things that we're not okay with, but what was not communicated was like how close each of us was to being at our final level of ending right. it. And so when that final discussion happened, like, oh my God, I was like tears and done. Yeah. And I think as a person being broken up with, you're always like, you want to know why. So I remember like constantly trying to have a conversation about why, but of course I'm like emotional all over the place and I like don't want to hear it either.
Yeah, right? It doesn't make sense to you.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting too, because you kind of like quantified it that way, right? Because yeah. even though you guys are both going through the same arguments yeah. and the same topics of discussion, like he's perceiving it as much heavier of a conversation versus you're like, oh, this is only a level three.
Yeah. Like, this is something like I can work deal through. With. This is not that serious.
Right.
But the same thing that isn't serious for me is really serious for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think as Janet's telling her story, like, obviously my breakup is, I think it's still fresh. So I'm wondering if, like, that we both had different levels of wanting to not be together. Mm. So I guess to rewind back, so me and my ex, we both went into the relationship wanting to be together long term. We talked about it and I thought that was clear. So I think when you guys establish you want it long term, you start investing more and more into one another in the relationship. Right. And so when we fight, I was like, oh, that's no big deal. Like, we still want this to work, whatever. And I, from my perspective, it was mutual. But during the last discussion we had before we actually broke up, because whenever we fight, we did bring up, like, are we just not compatible sometimes? Like, we don't know. We're not getting each other, but it's okay. We still really care about each other. Let's make it work. But during our last discussion, that topic got brought up again. And we were really, like, trying to, like, dissect it. And we realized we aren't compatible, but at the same time, feelings are there. Like, you still really care about each other, right? You're like, how do I, even though all the compatibility reasons are right, but our feelings are so strong. Like, what do we do in those situations? And so in the moment, obviously, you guys know I'm emotional. Sheep, Pisces, whatever sign I am. I just really wanted to be with him.
Yeah. You, like, wanted to make it work.
Yeah. And for me, I go more on the, I still like you, and I'm more on the emotional side. I'm going to use this as my core reason. Mm-hmm. I still want to be with you. Mm-hmm. And I think he was trying to, like, logically try to figure out, like, what is right for both of us. Like, this compatibility thing, it's not fair to you, it's not fair to me, but I still like you. And here I am going, like, I want to make this work. And I think he was just, like,
at a different level
almost. Yeah. And he just, I think in the moment, he just didn't know what to choose. And then we reached a point, because we've been talking about this for, like, hours. Mm-hmm. I reached a point where I'm like, you know what? You don't know still. Like, I know I want to be with you. And granted, yes, you're being logical with your decisions, because I know you want to be fair to both of us. Mm-hmm. But I said to him, I said, you know, I think maybe I just want to be with someone that knows that they want to be with me.
Right. And it's like, maybe you do want to be with me, but maybe right now it's not the right time. Right. Because you clearly don't know what it is that you want. And I'm going to be a fighter in this relationship, and I'm going to fight for us. And if you're not fighting for us, that's not fair to me.
Yeah. Right? And I think that's when I knew. I was like, I need to walk away, because I've obviously shared with you what I wanted. And if you don't want it, if you don't know, I'm going to take that as you don't want it. Enough, I guess.
Yeah. I think back to, like, past relationships where, like, for me, like, one heated argument could really, like, encompass a whole relationship, right? And now I think, now that I'm a little bit older, I do look at, like, those one argument, say it's about compatibility. But if you look at it from, like, a bird's eye view, that takes up, like, 5% of our relationship, where it's, like, a big deal. And 95% of our relationship is, like, super good, right? But when you're in the heat of an argument about that 5%, that gets so much weight that you don't even see the 95% that's good anymore.
Yeah.
So it sounds like from your perspective in this, like, argument, you took a step back and you were like, I can deal with this and we can work this out, versus maybe he was super, like, focused on the 5%. And he was like, this is encompassing our relationship and I don't know if I can deal with it.
Yeah, because he was like, I would have to, I don't want to say I'm giving him credit, but I do appreciate him trying to figure out what he wanted, even though he was uncertain. Mm-hmm. But I think, as just for me personally, I just reached a point, I'm like, I don't want to be in limbo. I want you to know.
Right.
Because I know what I want in a relationship with you, or just anyone in general.
Yeah.
But another thing, I guess I don't play devil's advocate, but I guess combining Janet's story and your perspective, you know what? Like, because it's been a few months now, maybe for him that it wasn't 5%. Maybe it was, like, for him, our compatibility level wasn't super high for him to want to try.
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, no, it's high enough that we can try.
Right.
You know, so it's just, I think as time goes on, we'll tell.
Right. It's all about perspective and how you take an argument and what matters to you more. So,
me and Janet have been rambling on about our breakup stories. Hello, Helen.
Hi. Welcome to ABG.
Welcome, Helen, from ABG. Do you have any stories of you, like, maybe being the dumper or the dumpy?
I've had 3 very significant breakups that was part of, like, the later part of my life, and they're all, like, super different. They were never the same. So the first one was in college, where I was dating this older guy. So I was a sophomore and he was a senior.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I said too. But I knew that I liked him because he was that like upperclassman figure that was popular. Everyone liked him. And I was like, ooh, this guy seems to be a desirable human.
Okay, yeah. Went the opposite direction. Yeah.
So then we went out and I realized pretty quickly, because that was a short relationship, that he wasn't who I expected him to be. And I knew that he wasn't anyone that I wanted to be with long term. So in my mind, this was already building up, but I was also that naive, non-controversial sophomore that didn't want to bring up any of these to him. Mm-hmm. And also didn't feel like he was going to receive it well for me. No, so I just never really talked about it with him. But there was one day where I was like, hey, I think this is not going to work. And we spent the whole day just analyzing it and talking through it. And it was like one of the worst days of my life because I was 100% confident that I wanted to break up with him.
But he saw it. He didn't see it coming because it had never been discussed.
Exactly. Right. And so he tried to make me like feel bad that I was making the wrong decision, that I was being naive and young. And I was like, I already know.
Wait, but before that, did you know you were going to break up with him before that day?
It was building up in my mind already. Like, I mean, there were like characteristics about him that I was just like, okay, I can't live with that in the future. So I knew beforehand, but I didn't communicate it to him until the day of. That was the first one. The other one was when, so I had a very steady boyfriend back in Boston before I moved to Los Angeles. And we were both super comfortable with each other. Like, he was my best friend and all of that. But I knew I wanted to move to LA. He didn't want to move to LA because of his job. And he had to stay. He was very career focused. So he wanted to stay in Boston. We both knew that it would be better for us to just not be together. Purely because once arguments start arising, it'd be like very difficult to. And I know a lot of people out there can do long distance relationships. I just didn't think it was right for us. And he didn't think so either.
But you guys didn't even give it a try.
So yeah, we didn't even give it a try. But it was like one of those things where I was just like crying my eyes out at the airport and throughout the whole plane ride, and family with a kid next to me was like handing me tissues. Like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, this is going to be great. California. But yeah, so that was like more of a forced breakup that none of us wanted to go into, but we just knew that it was the right thing.
It's
to
like
do.
Situational.
Yeah.
Because you guys were,
this is just interesting because I never got to like a long-term place where like, you know, long distance was an issue we had to talk about. But do you think as you guys reached a comfortable level that I guess like the romantic feelings kind of fizzled out, and that's why it's easier for you to make that decision to not be together and not try out long distance?
Yeah, I think that was a part of it. Like, we were going out for almost a little over 4 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was a pretty long period of time, like through our college and after college too. And I feel like that feeling did fizzle out, but there was also this assuredness that we were still good, right? We weren't at a point where we're like, oh yeah, we just aren't compatible or we're not working out for very specific reasons. Like, we were good. We were completely fine. But at the same time, that level of excitement had already kind of dissipated. Yeah. So it kind of made sense also.
It could also be that if it was a different time, right? If you guys were older, that is, and you were both looking for marriage, then maybe it would have worked.
Oh, yeah.
True, actually.
Yeah. That could have been the one, but timing wasn't right. And I feel like that happens a lot more when you're older.
Yeah. I actually saw this quote. I read a lot of quotes when I'm going through a breakup, apparently. No, this is a talk show. But he was saying, he's like, I actually truly believe that you can meet the right one at the wrong time. Like the perfect, like your soulmate. Which is timing.
I also believe that there's multiple soulmates.
Yeah.
There's multiple people that you could be with. But if you're not ready or if he's not ready and you guys aren't together at the same time, you know.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It's like a crazy thing where it's like you have to find this person that you're attracted to, you're compatible
with,
and
I know.
The timing has to be perfect for both of you.
Yep. What and the they have fuck? To like you too.
I know, it's fuck. I fucking hate that. Wait, Helen, what is your last breakup story?
Okay, so last breakup story. So this one was probably the more difficult one because it wasn't like a by default, or it wasn't one that I was 100% confident for sure about. It was one where I honestly felt like I was okay and I was the one that was for sure like fighting for the relationship. Kind of like you, Mel, I felt like this was a really good relationship and I didn't want to let it go. But I think on his side, he was going through a lot of things and he wasn't 100% confident as much as I was, right? And so for me, I'm like, boy, like I can go find someone else who is 100% confident.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, you're not going to grow while you're in a relationship with me. You need to figure this out on your own. So regardless of like, I can't even say like who broke up with who, because there was like enough of these conversations already where it's like, okay, I think we're at a place right now where you gotta go.
Yeah.
So that happened, and that is a much more difficult breakup because from my perspective, I didn't want to break up.
Yeah.
But you kind of just have to like accept it and just try and move on with life.
Yeah. I'm just like nodding along. I think it's really hard because in those situations, your feelings are so intact. It wasn't like my feelings just disappeared or I stopped like caring about him or having these feelings. I just said feelings so many times. But it makes it tougher to move on when you're still invested in someone.
Right.
It wasn't like someone cheated on someone or like you did something so horrible. Yeah, I don't want to be with you.
Right. It was just, it was a situation where you're both still emotionally invested, but you know that what you're looking for is not there at that moment.
Yeah. And then in that moment, you choose to walk off.
And that's, so that is a key word that you chose, right? Mm-hmm. Versus not having a choice. And whenever you have choice, it gives room for you to question.
Yeah.
So these three breakups, I would say that the consistent, I guess, messaging or tips for during a breakup is to be respectful of the other person, right? At one point in time, you love this person a lot. And during these last moments, it's probably best to be just respectful for what they have to say. And so be compassionate, but also be honest about why it is that you're breaking up with them, right? So instead of saying like, it's not you, it's me. It's like, there's probably a part of it where it's them, right?
Yeah.
And this is like almost the best learning opportunity for someone to understand what it is about them that maybe they're doing that they're not even realizing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can be a better person for someone after you, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It's always better to talk through something and have that person change for you during that relationship. But sometimes that's just not the case because of pride, because of whatever it is, right?
And even if it is the whole, it's not you, it's me, meaning it's literally like, I just don't feel for you that way, you should tell them that. And that's a hard thing to say to someone, but if they hear that, they can move on. Versus if you give them a reason that they can sense is fake, they may always wonder.
Right, right. There will be questions and there's never going to have closure. Breakups are hard, man.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like Helen is saying, like, you know, you want to have these conversations and be honest, but sometimes if the breakup is happening in a heated discussion and you're emotional and you're crying, maybe that's not the best place to have that conversation, but know that probably it's good then after you have that, take some time away and then have some sort of closing like conversation with each other, because it is how you treat the breakup will help determine how fast you get closure from it, right? If you get the right things, if the right things are said and you can feel like you can move on, it's more quick than if you're kind of like tiptoeing around it and then the healing process is kind of like never, it's like dragged on.
Right. Do you guys ever establish boundaries? Do you stay friends with the person, or are you kind of like, all right, time to go our separate ways?
I definitely cannot stay friends with the person afterwards because I'm so attached, you know? And I make it clear, like, after this breakup, like, you can't treat me like I'm your girlfriend anymore. Like, you can't text me, you can't call me, because it just makes it a lot harder for me to move on, you know?
Yeah, I think I definitely, when I was younger, I struggled a lot with this because I'm also the type of personality that doesn't like to have, like, negative with anyone. So right after, I'm like, but we can still be friends, or like, that's cool.
Oh, right.
But that's such a mistake. Now that I'm older, I know it hurts more to cut it off, but you need, like, that is what will help both of you heal faster. But it doesn't mean that you cut it off forever. Like, because I'm friends with all my exes, but most of them, it took a good year or two. So it's like a year or two where you don't talk and you have your space, and then you can come back together when emotions have calmed and you've had closure, and then you, because there's some reason that you guys were connected and you got along very well, right?
Yeah.
At some point. You need to be at a place where you're okay with seeing them with another person.
Ooh.
And you're like,
ooh. That's a good test. That's a really good test. That's,
if it, like, still makes you like sick and sad and blah, then, you know, for yourself, maybe don't like.
That's a great.
Mel's like, I'm not there.
I'll be honest, I'm not there yet.
That's okay. It's very recent still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'll get there one day.
Okay, so we talked a lot about, you know, what to do during the breakup, what happens before the breakup. I think since I'm currently going through my healing process after what happened, I could talk about what happens after the breakup. I think for me in the beginning, it's so painful. I was telling someone, it actually feels like I can physically feel my heart hurting. Mm. Like in the first week, it was like, it was just like a sharp pain.
Yeah. And it's probably like beating faster.
Oh, of course.
So it's like, ah, you're working too hard.
I don't know. Yeah. And then you guys know I'm really emotional. In the first month, first week, I cry every day. It's very normal. And I think something we don't talk about a lot is, you know, now we're working women. We have to go to work every single day and put on a face and be like the best performer on our team still. How do you do that when you're going through something so heart-wrenching like a breakup?
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I still really care about him and I still have feelings for him, you know? So I call this the wave because I think as you're getting better day by day, regardless of how better you are, you have this wave of sadness just come onto you. And you don't know what, like, when it happens or why it happens.
Or why it's triggered.
Yeah, why it's triggered. You know why it's happening. Yeah. But at work, I remember I would be totally fine and be making, like, my afternoon tea. And all of a sudden, I just feel sad, like, walking the hallways. And I don't know what to do. And at one point, I, like, looked at my stylist. And I was like, can I just bar your closet? Mm-hmm. She was like, sure. And I just sat there and I cried, like, in between the racks of clothes. Because it's just hard, you know, like, this is someone that you talk to every single day, that was part of your life, that you invested all this time in, and all of a sudden they're just cut off completely.
Right.
And you just feel like a sense of emptiness. Like people relate going through a breakup like going through a death, and it's kind of true because this person is no longer there, providing you all these things that were comfort, love, just being there for you, having someone to talk to every single day. So I call this like random feeling the wave of sadness, and to be completely honest, I still get it. It hasn't been super long since we broke up, but looking back, it happened every single day. But now it happens less frequently, which is great. That knows that I'm moving on. But I think that's something a lot of us go through when we go through a breakup or right after a breakup.
And this analogy of the wave is great because it's like something that washes on very powerfully in the beginning, but that definitely starts to trickle away and has an end, right? So for anyone going through a breakup, if you're feeling like crazy and crazy emotional, know that that's normal and also know that it will slowly go away.
And waves also hit a beach and clear the beach and make it a new... make
it beautiful!
Actually, I think about that all the time, like footprints in the sand. Waves always wash it over and start it afresh.
Yeah, that's very true.
Wipes it clean for you.
Yeah.
So Mel, what are some general things that you've been doing for yourself to get yourself out of the wave? Standing up? Walking?
Actually going to the beach? No. Actually, I've been doing that too. One of the first things I did was I bought two journals. I bought one journal called the gratitude journal. It's kind of cheesy, but when you're so sad, you just want to be reminded of the little things and of the happiness.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for you to actually feel that sometimes, you know? So I have a gratitude journal and I just have a plain journal where I just write down my thoughts and the process of healing, because I think you could distract yourself by hanging out with your friends and like watching shows. But if you don't really tackle what happened or process what happened, you're not going to really fully heal.
Right. Yeah.
And so one of the first things I wrote in my journal is I wrote the qualities that I was really confident in myself that I would want a partner to love too. Because when you're going through a breakup, you think about, did you not love this about me? Was I not enough?
It's only negative thoughts that fill your head.
Exactly. And so you have to remind yourself, these are the qualities that I possess, and these are the qualities I know that's going to make someone stay.
Yeah.
And these are qualities I want someone to appreciate and cherish.
Yeah.
So I wrote that about myself. I mean, call it tune my horn, but I worked, you know?
And I think that's incredibly important, like, after a breakup. Right. Like, especially a breakup like that where it's like, okay, well, why in the hell did you break up with me in the first place? Like, I don't really – I kind of know, but I still don't know. And so you have to, like, almost feed your own ego to be like, you're still fucking amazing as you are, and someone else is going to appreciate these things and maybe look past a little bit easier the things that you're still working on. But be there with you as you're working through those rather than feeling like they can't be with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And a gratitude journal is great too because, Mel, to your point, when you're going through a hard time, it's like you are default set to focusing on all the negative things. And so when you're actively focusing or choosing to focus on positive things, that indirectly lifts your mood too. Yeah. So I think that's a really great approach.
And of course, the other obvious thing you do is you hang out with your friends. Like, I think I hang out with you guys a lot more. I mean, I don't know, like, another thing, as you're going through the healing process, you really are able to take a step back and ask yourself, why am I doing the things I do? What do I want and need in someone? What do I want and need in myself?
Right.
And I have to say, like, during this time, I was able to take a step back and ask myself, why are we doing this podcast? What does this mean for me, actually? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was able to really appreciate what we're doing. In my gratitude journal, they asked, like, what are you thankful for today? It's like, I'm honestly thankful for my friends, because it's just like,
Stop. Don't do that. Fuck.
Fucking hate being emotional, but
no. It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
My falsies.
don't mess up your extensions.
I know. I just got them good. No, but it's like when you're going through pain, it's like when.
No.
This is so lame.
It's also 11 p.m. on a weeknight.
I'm really tired. Mel's
going through a hell of a work week. She's essentially doing two jobs at once right now.
Yeah, that's true. Because she got her promotion.
We can talk about that later, too. But, sorry, what was I saying?
You're thankful for us.
Yeah, but it's just like, for me, maybe it's like a thankful for like a deeper level, because it's just like, all my friends have just been there.
Yeah.
And been there in a way it's not just like, oh, yeah, you could talk to me. Like, they actually been there helping me go through this and making, like, just being there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just really, it makes me feel really lucky to have my friends. And it's not just like one friend. I have so many who have been there for me.
Yeah.
And you guys are definitely some of them.
Yeah. And it's almost like, take a step back. It's like, now, I'm not saying you didn't appreciate us before.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that, like, now that this event happened, you kind of realize who are the people that are actually going to be there for you when you are going through something where you feel like you can't be alone and you need to talk to someone.
Yeah.
So it's like a
blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Positive things too.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't expect to be so emotional.
But talking about us, like, I thought you were going to be emotional talking about the breakup, but
it was before. But I think another thing we could talk about, yes, you're healing, and these are there's some good things that come out of the healing process, but you'll hit some barriers. I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys relate to this. Mm-hmm. I was messaging you guys. I'm like, when you break up with someone, you still care about them so much. You just want to know what's going on with them. Like, I miss you. I want to know if you're okay. And like, and another factor now that we're in this whole technological time is freaking Instagram and Facebook are there. And it's like, you can cut off communication and not be like, quote unquote, friends anymore. But if their face is popping up at you.
On your feed,
And it's like, you know what fucking sucks too? Because think about it. This is the person that you have interacted with the most on these social channels. They're the first story that pops up. They're the first light that you see.
Just the algorithms are like, this is someone you want to know about.
And you like click on it. You're like, do not. I don't want to see any more of this content. Right. And it pops up again. You're like, I don't want to see any more of this content. I'm like,
Instagram, you're not only helping my breakup process right now. But I think it was really hard for me with Instagram. And like, whatever, you just want to know what he's doing.
And at the same time, I feel like social media also puts out like the happiest of people. So when you see that he's happy, that's only like one, like literally one image, like maybe only 1% of his day, but that's what you're seeing, and that's everything that you're assuming that he's going through, that he's just completely fine is.
And it's like, okay, I'll be real, like when you're going through a breakup and you have social media, you're like, oh my God, are you hooking up with someone already? Oh my God, you're probably talking to some girl and all these things. You're just like, oh.
You become like this like intense stalker.
Yeah.
I'm not going to admit to that, but I'm not going to admit to that.
Well, I'll admit to it. I feel like, it's hard because if this is a person you're constantly thinking about, and then now you have access to a tool to like essentially peek into their life.
Right.
And you're like, oh wait, whose photo did you like? Oh, it's a girl. Oh wait. Are you seeing her?
Yeah. No. And then you go down this rabbit hole of like, who's this bitch?
Right? And plus, there are now these social etiquettes you have to follow. Because, you know, I still care about him. We're still on good terms. Like, I still have feelings for him. Like, or I'm still getting over these things. And I don't want to unfollow you. That just seems so weird to me. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, like, what should I do? Because I can't do this to myself anymore. Like, this is preventing me from moving on. I was talking to you guys. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I have people say, that's too much to unfollow someone. And other people are like, no, block them right away. I'm like, oh, fuck. And for myself, I just, you know what? Like, I can't be seeing this for the time being. As much as, like, I want to be cool with you, not now. And so I actually ended up messaging him, which you guys know. And I just said, like, I can't. What the fuck did
like, you said it's like it's difficult for you to still see him like on. So you just told him you were gonna unfollow him
just for a common courtesy,
yeah,
you know,
like for with like no real like bad
intent
behind it.
I actually feel like when people unfollow you, that's when you know they had real feelings for you. Because, yeah. Right? Versus if someone mm-hmm. can continue seeing your face pop up like that, unless they just have really good self-control and not checking their app and stuff. But I feel like generally...
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you unfollow someone, it's like, I can't live with seeing you.
Yeah. Like, or I need, I was emotionally affected enough to need some time off from this, right? Mm-hmm. Versus just having like the cordialness of like, oh, because it's like, it comes off as weak for me to have to unfollow you yeah. or to unfriend you. But if this was a significant person to you and this was a significant relationship, it should be understood that you need, just the same as you need physical time apart, mm-hmm. like you need technological
stuff. Time apart. Time apart.
Right? Where are you still here?
I feel like I've been rambling on about my breakup process because I guess I'm currently going through it. But how about you guys? Like, what did you guys do? Like, do you guys unfollow? Did you guys?
Ooh. I was definitely a stalker.
Here. My investigative skills got so good.
Yeah, for sure. I also didn't like want him to see it, so it got, I don't know.
Oh my God.
You created a false account.
Yeah. No. Okay. Wait. I think I might have, or like I had my sister look at it or something like that. And like, what is he doing? I don't know. It's something so stupid. Or yeah, I would like look at through one of your accounts or something and be like, hey, can you play his story over there?
Actually, wait, I remember now that happened for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, like at the same time, you don't want to show that, oh, you're following their lives and mm-hmm. constantly checking up on them. Yeah. Like the first person to look at their stories, even yeah. though I would have been, right? So there's a part of like the self-control that you can't control.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like, it's okay. And that's during that time, you just, you miss that connection and you just want to see them.
Yeah.
And so for me, I feel like I started getting over it when I started doing things like for myself, because I found that yeah. the times when I was doing that the most was when I was at home by myself,
right?
Like, and just like weeping and like, yep. I need to see what he's doing. But then I started boxing classes mm. and doing this like BBG program, workout program, and going on runs a lot more and meeting new people. And yeah, meeting new people, that kind of helps too. I'm not saying that you should like find a rebound and like
yeah.
do all of that, but it does fill that like emotional void mm-hmm. for even if it's temporary.
Well, speaking of rebounds, like I could say from my perspective, I can never do rebounds. I can't even say the word because I don't do it because mm-hmm. I don't want to give myself emotionally to anyone else mm. that I'm not ready for.
But I think that when you're at a stage where you're capable of having feelings for someone else, then you know that you're getting better, right? Because in the beginning, it's like
not possible.
It's not even, yeah, you can't even look at another person with any type of romantic anything. Right. So you know that if you're able to like go out on a date or like to be in a club and looking at a guy and be like, hey, he's cute, it's yeah. like, oh, that's progress.
Right. Mm-hmm. But even like while you're going out with them, you're constantly thinking about your most recent ex
yeah.
and you're comparing them to him. And so it's not like you're like completely okay to just go out and emotionally invest yourself in like someone else. That's not going to be as easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it takes your mind off of whatever you're thinking about and fills up that emotional connection that you need with someone at that moment.
Yeah.
I think for me, allowing time to grieve, like, you know, you don't want to sit and like mope for too long, but you need to get the feelings out and you need to feel what you're feeling because otherwise it'll be repressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the kind of person that like works through stuff by talking. So versus like journaling and other things, I have like close friends that I'll just talk and it's just like word vomit, like mm-hmm. not making sense or whatever. And that helps me process. And oftentimes when I talk through like what happened, I talk through my thoughts and my feelings, and doing it multiple times with multiple people, it helps me like kind of process and get past it.
Mm.
And then to Helen's point, like I just start doing things that like fill my time for myself. And then it gets better.
Actually, some of the best times when people reinvent themselves is after a breakup.
Totally.
You start looking at yourself and you're like, what was I doing wrong? Like, why was mm-hmm. I that bad? Like, I'm really not that bad, but I could also be better.
Exactly. Right.
So that's when you start doing things that you've never done before.
Yeah. I was talking about this with my friend. This breakup, I kind of mentioned it earlier, but this breakup has gave me a different sense of quarter life crisis, because when I was going through my quarter life crisis, I was reevaluating everything. But this breakup has allowed me to do that again with myself.
Yeah.
Like what are things I value and whatnot? Like I said, the podcast
mm-hmm.
earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of random. But I don't know why. But whenever I go through a breakup, a month or 2 months later, something in my professional career happens.
Mm. And that happened again this time.
Yeah, so I recently got promoted at work, and I actually was anticipating or hoping for a promotion within my team, but a new position opened up in a different team that I was much fitted for. So I switched over to their team and I got a promotion and the title changed. And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, how did this, why did this come now, you know? And this happened with all my other breakups. It's just like
some sort of karmic link between your romantic
life it's and like your professional life. It's like the universe saying, like, hey, I think I need you to refocus on something else.
Or it's like, hey, life is not that bad.
Right?
Yeah.
But I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if you guys ever had situations like that.
No, I don't get promoted every time a breakup happens. I wish.
Should I just go through more breakups to like reach the top or something?
Like next time you're going through one, just be like, ooh, something good is going to come out of this.
It's like, I'll become a director or something.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you to you ladies and to our listeners for following me on my beginning, middle, and end of my romantic journey. I'm still going through the healing process, but I have faith that I will make it through. And I guess another thing I want to bring up or for those of you who are also going through breakups, it's hard because we're so fixated on the good memories we have with someone. But when breakups happen, it's because it happens for a reason. And we may not see it now, but I guess we'll find out later why it happened.
Yeah. And the first few days, weeks, or even months are going to be hard. But one morning you're going to wake up and suddenly that heartache won't be there anymore. And you'll be able to go on his Instagram and not feel jealousy or sadness and be able to, you know, sort of just reflect back on the good times that you guys shared together and focus less on the negative and be like, oh, he helped me to become this person that I am today.
Yeah. And for anyone out there who is going through a breakup or has gone through breakups, if you have stories that you'd like to share with us, write us at asianbossgirl@gmail.com or visit our website at asianbossgirl.com. We're also on social media, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.